Well, Lenzeem, it is Masters Week, and of course, as you well know, up here in the North, some people always suggest that Masters Week coincides with the start of golf season here in the Chicagoland area, and even though the weather is not supposed to be that great here yet this week, appears that there is snow tracking in to the Quad Cities area by Thursday night and Friday morning around TPC Deer Run. And more often than not, that weather makes itself up here and visible. Usually within about 12 hours or so, you have to wonder what's in store for Friday and this weekend here in the Chicago area. But let's hope the weather stays away and we can launch golf season.
Well, of course, here in Florida, the golf season starts when the Florida swing comes, and that just ended. Very good Florida swing with a lot of good tournaments, the best of which was Valspar here in Palm Harbor, where Sam Burns made a very dramatic putt in sudden death to win the tournament. The Masters is a funny thing this year. I think that it's the storylines don't quite fit the way they usually do. I think there's an obvious player who should be the favorite, and that's Scottie Scheffler, who has been playing just great. He's won three of his last five starts, and he's certainly going to be my pick, as I'll report in the Daily Herald tomorrow. Masters, it seems like it's much more of a wide open tournament than it is in most years, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, there are several storylines this week, and it'll be interesting to see which one plays out. One of the ones that's getting lost because of the hoopla in other areas is yet again this year, Rory McIlroy bidding to be, I believe, one of only six or seven players ever that's won the career Grand Slam. And he apparently is coming in playing very well, and also someone put out a statistic that said he has more top 10 finishes in the Masters in the last 10 years than any other player. So maybe this year, maybe this time, he can click.
Well, Rory has a good record over the years in the Masters without winning. What serves me is though he hasn't won otherwise. So this year he came a long way from even making the cut. He didn't make the cut in the Valero Texas Open last week. I thought it was unusual that he even played there. He's one who, if he got his game together, he would be make a dramatic run at it. Bryson DeChambeau has been hurt for quite a while. The defending champion Hideki Matsuyama withdrew in the middle of the tournament last week with a sore neck. It's as I say, it's kind of a funny Masters going in at this point.
Yeah, it sure is. The field is well, it's interesting, is what it is. And now also today, in addition to some of the recent stuff that's come out about Bryson DeChambeau's injuries, was it from too much golf on the practice range? Was it from an injury in a ping pong match? It all remains to be seen. But some other video surfaced online today, and I'm surprised it took this long to really get out there. Brooks Koepka having two incidents with fans at the match play championship. Apparently, security lets somebody with a phone basically get really in Koepka's face, trying to film him and his fiancee Jenna Sims. And Koepka had enough of it and yanked the guy's phone away from him. And they started to drive off with it. And who knows where it was going to end up. Apparently, somebody that was out there with Koepka, part of his group that was following him, whether it was a family or a team manager or somebody, eventually took the phone back from Koepka and walked back down the hill and returned it to the spectator whose phone it actually was. And also, there was more video of Koepka walking out to a practice facility with people screaming for autographs. And Koepka's response was, "I don't come to your office and bother you for your stuff. See you around. I got work to do." So a couple of situations there that coming out today online, and most of the people seeing this says it doesn't paint a good picture for the four-time major champion.
No, it certainly doesn't. I mean, I understand how these guys can get sometimes with the crowds get out of control. I saw a very rather very unruly group of fans that are here at the Arnold Palmer Invitational a few weeks ago, and you don't usually see it there. But Koepka is can be kind of a fiery guy at times, I think, and obviously something set him off at this one. He's I don't know where you should think he's going to play in the Masters. His record going in isn't all that impressive either. Just like Dustin Johnson hasn't won. You know, it's just hard to pick a favorite from the big names.
Well, there are some people suggesting with all the hype around Phil not being there and Tiger potentially being there that the guy who has really gone out on the golf course and looked outstanding is Colin Morikawa. And it's surprising that a guy who I believe is the reigning British Open champion isn't attracting a little more attention. But people that have been watching his swing this week say it looks pretty darn good.
Well, he's a good player, no question about that. He's got a major, and he's played, you know, a very good young player. This might be the key we get this year is we get a younger champion to add to the Masters lore. As I said earlier, Scottie Scheffler is my clear-cut favorite without question, based on what I've seen of him over the last 2 or 3 months and the way he's come on like gangbusters since he. Ever since he won the Evans Scholars Invitational, his first one as a pro, back when he was still playing on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2019. So, again, it's a wide open Masters. Can't wait for the excitement of it.
I'll tell you this. It could be a very exciting week at Augusta, and we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out. An interesting announcement came out about a day or two ago. That Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear, has elected to end his run in playing in a par 3 contest.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. I sort of can see it. It's a wild scene over there. It's not like the regular Masters crowd. It's more like a New York U.S. Open crowd, a wild, unruly bunch on the par 3 course, and there isn't a whole lot of room to get around. So maybe it's just as well. I mean, he's still around for the ceremonial first tee shot along with Gary Player, and he's still very much a part of Masters history. You know, he's the only guy to win it 6 times. So I don't think it's a big loss that he's decided not to play in the par 3. I mean, he's past his 80th birthday now, and I'm sure the excitement of that par 3. He was never a big fan of that turn of the par 3 event anyway. He always felt like it was just taking away practice time for his appearance in the tournament itself. But I think the world will get along well without Jack Nicklaus in the par 3 contest at the Masters.
Well, Len, the golf world continues to move forward in many different directions. First off, a little closer to home here, noticed that the Heritage Oaks Golf Club opened over in Northbrook, formerly Sportsman's, and they did so walking only, in part due to wet conditions, in part having some new turf. The course just reopened late summer last year from renovation, but for the first time, it's open in April in 2 years.
Yeah, that's going to be that's good news. I hope the weather holds so that all the courses, and especially that one, can get some play early on, and get a good running start on the season, because people are anxious to play. There's no question about that.
Well, Len, one of the things that I found really interesting was the announcement last week by Mistwood Golf Club of the creation of Kelpie's Pub, and I'm kind of calling it Kelpie's Island Pub, because Mistwood has created a little island out in the lake there between the 8th hole on the front side and holes 14 through 17 on the backside, which is called Kelpie's Corner. But they built a little pub out there in the middle of the lake. And I know for a long time, when the late owner Jim McWethy was with us, I used to ask Jim what he was going to build out in the center of that lake. Always thought it would be a fun place in the middle of the summer if they had some kind of an island bar or something out there. And they built a little stone bridge, and you can walk on it from the 8th hole. And it sort of makes a a halfway house, just short of the halfway point. But the one thing about Mistwood is golfers now want to stop there on the eighth hole while they wait for golfers in front of them to finish out that long par five. They may not need to stop over at the turn and just can go from the ninth green to the 10th hole and keep right on going. But it is a kind of a neat little building, and I'm looking forward to getting over to Mistwood and seeing it.
You and me both. I can't quite picture. I've seen a picture of it, and I can't quite picture where the how it all will fall, to how it will affect the traffic flow on the course. But I'm sure they have planned that one out. It's really an interesting idea. It's kind of reminds me somewhat of the, I think it all probably idea started with the cradle over at the short course at Pinehurst, where they put a very kind of a fancy bar right in the between the eighth green and the ninth tee, and people just were flocking there whenever I was there. It was an interesting novel idea. So I'm sure that Mistwood does a lot of good things, exciting things, and I'm sure this is just one of them.
Well, and, you know, we look at Heritage Oaks and their new clubhouse, their renovated golf course, brand new driving range with TrackMan wired into the range. We look at improvements at Mistwood, like this, we'll call it a new halfway house, Kelpie's Pub. But, you know, it raises the question, again, innovation, renovation, restoration, whatever you want to call it. It's amazing how clubs are moving forward and making themselves more attractive. And I've gotten to a point where I really believe if you're not renovating, you're not improving your facilities, you're really going to be left behind in this world of growing golf that we've seen explode the last couple of years, in part due to the pandemic. But I think part of it is that people, regardless of what it is in life, they always like to check out the new thing. And, you know, golf has been adding a lot of new things. And a lot of these golf courses aren't just the same old thing every year. They're getting better in a lot of different ways.
Yes. Well, you know, Medina Country Club, of course, is having the ultimate renovation going to be starting in the fall. They've announced it back in December that the number three course there is getting a real major makeover, and a new five or six short holes and a Himalayan putting green are going to also be included in the project. So that's the ultimate renovation that I can think of to a famous course that's going on now. But you're right. I think that changes seems to be in demand now in golf, not just a nice thing to update anymore, to update your course, update your facilities. Change seems to be the order of the day in golf.
The point that I've made a little bit lately, and I really agree with this, that if you don't get better, you don't do something to get better, and it doesn't have to be millions and millions of dollars of golf course renovation work, or even millions and millions of dollars in building a new clubhouse. But you've got to do something to your facility, whether it's inside the clubhouse, whether it's out in the practice areas, whether it's even just taking care of, shall we say, I know a couple of clubs are having work done on one or two holes simply because those two holes, maybe they're on a low spot of the golf course and they flood all the time. And as a result, you know, every time there's, you know, very rainy conditions, the golf course opens and people have a 16 or a 17 hole golf course because you always got one hole or two holes that are underwater and unplayable. So they're doing something to fix two holes, but they're doing something to get better. And obviously, Len, you know, you mentioned Medina, talked a little bit about Heritage Oaks and their improvements, but certainly the list of improvements to various Chicago area courses doesn't stop there.
No, I understand that there's a number of them, at least in the talking stage of what they're going to do. And, you know, we've seen such two very big ones in recent years, of course, Heritage Oaks and the Preserve at Oak Meadows. I thought those would be the ultimate big ones, but now I'm not so sure that Settlers Hill might be even bigger than that one, those two. So it's going to be exciting to see. I'm sure you've heard about more than I have, me being here in Florida, but it's exciting. It's good for golf that the courses are taking major steps forward.
restoration and renovation work continues. You mentioned Settlers Hill, and of course, Greg Martin has been one of the busy architects around town over the last decade or so, and we've seen Greg's work over at the Wilmette Park District course, at Arrowhead Golf Club, Wheaton Park District. We've seen Greg's work over at Fox Run, part of the Elk Grove Park District, and his work is not done. We mentioned the Preserve at Oak Meadows. The award-winning renovation there has been nothing short of outstanding. Their clubhouse at the Preserve did get open towards the end of last year, but I believe this year it'll be open on a grander scale in terms of the food and beverage operation inside, and they will have more items available to sell in the pro shop. But when you go on from there, DuPage County Forest Preserve District is not done. It became evident in a recent survey that they posted at dupagegolf.com that Greg Martin has been rehired, and the talking has started for a renovation across the street at Maple Meadows. And they're actually asking for public input. What would they like to see done over there? And there's a lot of things that could be done over there. So it depends how creative the Forest Preserve District and the golf operation headed up by our radio partner, Ed Stevenson, and his team want to be, what Greg wants to do, what the regular golfers at Maple Meadows want to do, but it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do and when they decide to start doing it. You mentioned Settlers Hill. As of right now, it looks like Settlers Hill is on target to reopen at some point in July. We don't know if that'll be at the beginning of the month around the 4th of July, or it'll be the last 2 days of the month, but it appears that Settlers Hill will reopen at some point in July. The brand new clubhouse will not be done. Work will start at some point this year, and the old clubhouse will still be open towards the front of the property around the short game and the junior golf area, and part of the first tee of Kane County that will be involved there. But at the same time, I think there will be a trailer over by where the new first tee box is on the new routing of Settlers Hill, which basically includes two new par three holes replacing two older par three holes, and the rest of the routing is going to change by one hole. Old second hole will now be number one, and so forth, and the old first hole is going to be 18, so it'll change a little bit that way. But I think golfers are really going to enjoy all the elevated views and some of the things that have been opened up over there at Settlers Hill. And also, we should mention brand new driving range. They didn't have a driving range there in the past, and they will now.
Yes, I tell you, that's going to be a real great addition to the Chicago golf scene. I know they needed a driving range there. That was a must. But I think that when all is said and done, what will set that that course apart is the extraordinary elevation changes that Greg has created over there. I don't think there's going to be a golf course in Chicago that has as steep and as dramatic as elevation changes as that one will have. So I'm anxious to see it. I hope by July we'll be able to be out there and play.
We talk about some of the work that Greg Martin's doing, and of course, Greg is starting to get things going on the two Naperville, City of Naperville Park District courses, Naperbrook and Springbrook. And so there are improvements underway over there, and more to continue this year. We mentioned Medina, but there's a variety of clubs that had work done on the private side. Ray Hearn, architect Ray Hearn, did some work in Midlothian, and that course will be reopening this spring. Reopening this year from work done last fall will be Conway Farms up in Lake Forest. Also in Lake Forest, we have Knollwood Golf Club will be shutting down, I believe, at some point in August. Architect Drew Rogers will be out there supervising that project, and architect Taylor Ray will be doing some work at Northmore. So there are projects going on in the private side. There are other clubs that have done work over the last couple of years through the pandemic. on and off the golf course. Park Ridge had work done on the golf course from Greg Martin. Also, clubs like Ruth Lake and Hinsdale had renovations done to their clubhouse. And recently, I found it towards the end of last year out at the Bridges of Poplar Creek in Hoffman Estates. A great new addition to their practice facility was partially enclosing part of the driving range, adding a roof, adding tables for food and beverage, adding a top tracer over there. So if the weather's not the best, you can kind of hit partially covered up and be able to continue your golf practice on days that might be too hot or a little rainy outside.
Yeah, it can't beat it. I mean, it looks like if you're not upgrading or not doing something to improve your golf course, you're going to be in the minority, and you'll have you might have some trouble getting all the players out there. Anyway, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting golf season in Chicago, but when it gets into full force, and that's not too far off.
Well, Len, we can't forget Mike Benkuski, who you saw working in your backyard in Florida at the Palm Air Country Club. The next phase and stage is happening as Mike starts to pull a master plan together for one of our favorite tracks, the 9-hole par 3 Nickel Knoll Golf Club on the north side of Arlington Heights.
Yeah, you know, that's my favorite par 3 course in all of Illinois, and I'm sure Mike will make it even better. It was a gem, of course, when I lived there, and we played many around there ourselves. So, yep, I'm looking forward to see what Mike's thoughts are there. He did a great job here at Palm Air Country Club, the course, the Champions course, right outside my window here. And he's a good architect, and I'm sure he's proven it before, and I think he'll do another great job at Nickel Knoll.
Well, through the pandemic, from time to time, and of course, some of these things get lost because of pandemic, but also a lot of changes up at Eagle Ridge in Galena, the resort up there, most likely and arguably, but maybe not so much, Illinois' best golf resort. You go up there, and I know there's been things done at the clubhouse by the general. They've flip-flopped the nines, and I haven't been up there in a couple of years. We're going to try to make it up there in about a month from now, but also, it's just great to see some of the things that they've done up there, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of them in person.
Well, golf-wise, I've been there, I think about a year ago, and they had just did a thing that I thought was a good move for the overdue for a while. They flipped the nines on the general, and that course plays a favorite course of mine anyway, but it plays much better with the nines switched. Now, I know their big project that they'll be unveiling for you is a new work they've done on the spa. The Klausners, couple that have taken over ownership of the facility, are very nice people, and they've got a lot of good plans for Eagle Ridge, their residence there, and I think you'll be impressed. You know, Eagle Ridge has always been a favorite place for me to go there for years and years and years. I know I played in the grand opening of the South Course as well as the General, and so that would take me back into the early '80s with the South Course. And I'm looking forward to getting back there again. I think anybody who goes to Eagle Ridge will come away pleased and have a lot of fun.
Well, and we also have to mention our friends at Gemsec Golf, the expansion and the improvements, especially over at the driving range, the addition of the food and beverage area behind the line, the brand new beer beverages to pick from, the addition of Top Tracer has really added a lot to the Cog Hill practice facilities. There's been some additions made up at their course, Pine Meadow and Mundelein, that they operate, and I'm really looking forward to enjoying one of those great Pine Meadow hot dogs out on the brand new patio behind their little golf shack there where you check in for golf. So there's a lot of good things going on at a variety of clubs around the Chicago area. And I think a point that, you know, both of us has made, if you're not getting better at this point, you're getting left behind in today's rapidly growing and improving and more competitive golf industry. And it's not just resorts anymore. It's even the local public golf course courses. I will start to wrap things up for this week with one interesting thought that I saw online. You know, Len, we occasionally talk about the Golf Architects Association, the ASGCA. There's also a national association here in America for the golf course superintendents groups. And I noticed that the head of the similar superintendent association spoke out. The association that oversees clubs in the United Kingdom, the UK, said that clubs are spending tons of money from new memberships and increased play on things like golf course improvements and painting the locker rooms and adding new drapes and tablecloths in the dining rooms. But they say there's still work to be done in improving salaries and pay to people who work at clubs. And they pointed that out and said that golf clubs are going to start to lose some of their best help if they don't start taking some of this money and just handing it back to the employees, which might be food for thought here in America as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's something that is not just a factor in the golf industry, but seems to be something that's gotten nationwide, maybe even worldwide. But I hope everybody can come to grips with that little issue in the country. It's not just a little issue anymore. It's a major one that crosses all industries. So we can only hope for the best.
With that, Len Ziem, we'll call it a wrap for this week, and we'll talk to you more next week.